In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
They couldn't think of a circumstance in which this procedure was the absolutely only procedure that could be used in a given case.
Jack Kevorkian has one main interest, and that's Jack Kevorkian, and his next interest is death. Somebody else's, not his.
The people in the United States are not looked upon as innocent in the eyes of jihadists because these people participate by voting during the election and electing the government. They are just as guilty as soldiers fighting on the front lines in Afghanistan and Iraq.
I also would like to thank our friends here in the media. May God spare us from all of the bad things they can do to us.
Well, that is an excellent prayer.
Anytime somebody wants to change something, a good question to ask and to get a straight answer on is why. I mean, this is simple. My wife wants to change the furniture around in the house. Now, I know what that's going to mean. One change never occurs that way. You can't just move one thing. It always necessitates the movement of a bunch of other things. And pretty soon, we're moving furniture out of the living room and out of the kitchen and out of the bedroom. And the whole house is getting rearranged. With good intentions to move just one piece of furniture, the entire house is essentially, I might even end up having to buy new drapes or recarpet or something like that. That's what change sometimes means. It isn't an isolated thing. So when someone wants to change something, you ask, why? And then you might also say, why is this a good idea? And what will it mean to make this change? Well, there's a church in Michigan that formerly was called Christ Community Church. It's made several changes. First of all, Christ Community Church decided to change its name to C3 Exchange. They also decided to change a symbol outside that most churches have, as a matter of course, the cross. By removing it entirely, they're going to replace it with some kind of a mural on the side of the church that faces the street. In a few minutes, we're going to play that story for you. A little debate, if you will, between the pastor of C3 Exchange and someone who's concerned about the changes made at that church, or at least concerned about such changes being made at other churches. And then I want your reaction. It's audio open lines this Thursday afternoon, July the 1st. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live this Thursday afternoon. I want to hear from you in this hour. The story of this church in Michigan that's changing its name and removing its cross, and they say why? So that they can be more inclusive. Their membership has broadened to include non-Christians, and it just doesn't seem consistent to them to keep the cross on the steeple or the name Christ Community Church. I want your reaction. Our call-in number on this Thursday, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. You can email us right here in the studio. We are coming to you live. Talk back at issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at issuesetc or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. And leave your reaction to this story there as well, facebook.com/issuesetc. Now, Fox News recently interviewed the pastor of C3 Exchange, formerly Christ Community Church, and an opponent of what they're doing there in Spring Lake, Michigan. Let's listen to the story, and then I want to hear from you.
Is a cross alienating? Would it alienate you Well, one church in Michigan thinks so. So in an attempt to be more inclusive and to not alienate potential worshipers, Christ Community Church has not only changed its name to C3 Exchange, but it's also removed the cross from its bell tower. Joining us now is that church's senior pastor, Ian Lawton, and the CEO of International Aid, David Wisson, a longtime resident who disagrees with what the church is doing. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Morning,
good
morning, Peter.
Good. Pastor, from what I understand, you want a so-called de-church, your church, and for you, the cross or the crucifix has become a negative symbol. How is that so if this is a Christian church?
Well, here's what's happened at C3 over the last couple of years. We've had a number of people join our community. We've had Buddhist, Jewish people, Muslims, gay people, spiritual but not religious. Everyone's come and joined. So we've changed the name and moved the cross to kind of catch up with who we've become.
Now, that's just part of it. We'll get more of it in just a minute. You've heard the pastor's rationale. He says, look, the nature of our congregation has changed. We've had, essentially, non-Christians join this congregation. It does seem a little bit odd, doesn't it, that non-Christians would join an ostensibly Christian congregation, but since they're not all believers in Christ anymore, at this Christ Community Church, he says it only makes sense to remove the cross. It no longer stands for what we stand for, and to change the name Christ Community Church to something that doesn't say Christ, because we're not all Christians here. CE3 Exchange is the new name. Now, they do plan, according to a news account, to replace the cross. Well, they're not actually going to replace the cross. They'll just be the steeple there on the wall facing Exchange Street, where they're found there in Spring Lake, Michigan. They're going to paint a heart, a globe, something else. I can't remember what it is. It's a heart, a globe, and the world, and the word exchange. And according to the pastor, it's there to symbolize one love for all people. What's your reaction? 1-877-623-6943. If your pastor said, look, I think we should allow some non-Christians to join our church, and you kind of see where that change can lead, how would you react? If your pastor say, well, we're still a Christian church, but we want to remove the cross because it's an obstacle to people. They find the cross offensive or inscrutable. They don't understand what it's about. It's misunderstood. And while we're at it, let's change our name because Christ Community Church sounds kind of exclusive too. What would you do? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or send us a tweet at issuesetc.
Basically, there's something we have in common that goes much beyond all of those differences, and that is we want to be all we can be in the world and make a difference together.
So you've become a universalist community, and you've secularized what was once a Christian community. You accept atheists, you accept people of all other religions. Is that right?
Basically, that's what's happened, is that people have been attracted to our community because it's open, it's inclusive, it's diverse, but more importantly, people have come because they want to make a difference. They want to practice being human together, and this is a safe place to do it.
Mr. Wisson, is it a matter of diversity or is it perversity in terms of traditional Christian principles to which this church once hewed?
Well, first of all, I'd like to clarify. I don't have a problem with C3 taking down the cross. I actually think it shows a lot of integrity, because they're not standing for the message of the cross anymore. The cross is a message that, for followers of Jesus Christ, that symbol has high value. But the Bible clearly states that Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. He says very clearly, no man cometh to the Father but by me. And Christianity, by definition, presents Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation and reconciling man to God. So to have that combined with other religions, I think it's confusing.
Mr. Wisson, thank you for your comment. Pastor Lawton, thank you. Have a good Sunday, and we appreciate you both being here.
All right, you've heard from both of them. Let's see. I'm intrigued by the man who was brought on to object, but he didn't really object. He said, look, they're being honest. They do not any longer teach or believe at this quote-unquote church that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, that his saving work is the means of salvation for all sinners. So they're being honest by taking down the cross. But what about churches that take down the cross and say we're still Christian, but they still view the cross as something that is an obstacle to seekers, so to speak? What would you do if your pastor said, we need to take down the cross? It's an archaic symbol. No one understands it. It's meaningless. I mean, people wear crosses all the time. You can see the big media celebrities who have nothing to do with Christianity sporting crosses around their necks, tattooed on their bodies, and it's no longer meaningful. We need to take it down. There are all sorts of reasons churches might remove the cross or change their name. I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. You can send your reactions to us via email. We'll get them right here in the studio in real time. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Bill in Livonia, Michigan, short and sweet, he says simply, it is no longer a church. Now, they're still calling themselves a church, or I think maybe they called themselves a community, or an exchange, really, C3 Exchange. Ken in St. Louis, Kevin in St. Louis says, what shall it profit a congregation if it gains full pews, yet forfeits its own soul? That's a very, very good question. All right, I want your reactions. This Michigan church has taken down its cross. They say no longer stands for what we stand for. Changed its name from Christ Community Church to C3 Exchange and plans to replace the cross with a picture of a heart, a globe, and the word exchange as a symbol of one love for all people. The pastor's being honest. He says, look, what we're really doing here is just making our symbols consistent with who we are. So he is being honest in that sense. What's your general reaction to this? And how would you react to someone who says, we want to keep the church Christian, but we want to lose the cross? What would you do if your pastor suggested such a thing? Or changing the name of the congregation to exclude any explicit mention of Christian or Christ in your church's name? 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Twitter us at issuesetc. Or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. It's audio open lines.
The sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
We've had a number of people join our community. We've had Buddhist, Jewish people, Muslims, gay people, spiritual but not religious. Everyone's come and joined. So we've changed the name and moved the cross to kind of catch up with who we've become.
That's Reverend Ian Lawton, formerly of Christ Community Church. They've changed their name to C3 Exchange, taken the cross down off the steeple and made it into a national story. He says, look, we just aren't exclusively a Christian church anymore. We may have some Christians in there, who knows, but we've also got people of all religious backgrounds and beliefs, and just didn't seem consistent to keep the cross or the name. I want your reaction to this story. It's Audio Open Lines this Thursday afternoon, July the 1st. You're listening to Issues, Etc. 1-877-623-6943. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC. Email us here in the studio in real time. Talk back at IssuesETC.org, or leave your thoughts on this story at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. George in Davie, Florida, emails us. He says, since the United Church of Christ and the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America have pulpit and communion fellowship, and this is true, they actually do, one of the largest Lutheran denominations and a very large pan-denominational church body, they do have pulpit and communion fellowship, it would in no way surprise me if the ELCA congregations began to do the same, says George in Davie, Florida. In a way, I'm happy they removed the cross because the true Jesus Christ of Scripture is not worshipped there. Sounds like the reaction of the pastor we heard on the Fox News story, who's just a bit he's concerned that this is happening, but he's actually commending them for being honest. What about the rest of you? Wally in, let's see, Macungie, Pennsylvania, sends us an email. He says, this comment is for second hour. Regarding the C3 inclusive spiritual community, his words, he says, number one, the whole concept of a former Christian church and pastor renouncing their faith in Christ makes me deeply sad. Even more disturbing is that this is not an uncommon thing amongst many young people today. These realities challenge us to speak the gospel in our time faithfully, clearly, articulately, and boldly, and they remind us that wide is the road to destruction and narrow is the way that leads to life. Quite right, Wally. He also says, additionally, I'm thrilled to hear that they took down the cross. I appreciate the fact that this group of non-believers is willing to come clean, be honest, and acknowledge the fact that they are no longer Christian. They do not call themselves a church. So many in mainline Protestantism, such as the United Church of Christ and the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, have departed from the gospel of Jesus Christ, indeed, Christ himself, yet still carry on the name Christian and still identify with the Christian symbols such as the cross, which they deny. Oh, that all Christians would be as faithful, true, and consistent in their doctrine and practices as this spiritual community is. Very insightful. Wally, thanks for listening in Pennsylvania. Carrie in Minnesota says, they have left Christianity. Can they legitimately call their leader pastor anymore? He's no longer trying to lead the sheep in the way of the truth. Now, I said that Wally was very insightful. It's quite true. Would that Christian churches who are trying to be as open and as seeker-sensitive as they can possibly be, would that they were as honest and open about what they believe as this now non-Christian community is being now? They take down the cross. Why? It no longer symbolizes what they teach. They change their name because they're not Christian anymore. That's consistent. What's inconsistent are Christian churches who eschew those symbols and yet want to say, but this is what we're still really all about. Or, and this is quite often the truth, isn't it, that churches will, in essence, play down what it is they say they believe? You can find it on their website under their beliefs, but if you actually walk in on a Sunday morning, you might not hear much of those historic Christian beliefs to appeal to a broader audience. Now, which is more honest? The Christian church that plays down its beliefs in things truly scriptural to appeal to a larger audience, or a formerly Christian church that removes its symbols and changes its name to appeal to a larger audience? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Now, Kerry asks, can they call the guy, in the news he's called the Reverend Ian Lawton, the church's pastor. Can they call him a pastor anymore? Well, only in the absolute broadest sense of the term. Pastor is usually a technical term that denotes a Christian minister, someone who preaches the gospel, someone who teaches the Bible and proclaims Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation. But of course, we're in a day when words just don't mean what they used to mean anymore, aren't we? And words like pastor can mean sometimes in Humpty Dumpty fashion whatever the person speaking wants them to mean. You simply cannot count on these common definitions that once kept us clear and sane. You can't count on them anymore. Not in the culture, and nowadays, Kerry, not even in the church. Well, I would ask this question, raised by Kerry's, which is more honest? Ian Lawton, who probably will dispense with the title pastor, I don't know if they call him pastor, but the news does. He probably dispense with the title pastor because it doesn't fit him anymore. Or someone who's still called pastor, but doesn't do what pastors are called to do. Proclaim Christ and Him crucified. Forgive sins. Administer the sacraments instituted by Christ. Yeah, they still call him pastor, but for all intents and purposes, he's just the CEO of the organization. He's the brains behind the outfit, but he's not leading the sheep any longer. Which is more honest? From Facebook, Frank in Raleigh, North Carolina says, it sounds like there's a bit of refreshing honesty here in that the pastor admits that they've had to change their name and look to reflect becoming something other than a church. I wish more people were as honest as to what it is they were attempting to do as this guy is. There again, back to the question of honesty. You drive by the, well, here in this area, out west of here, there's a big Mormon temple. It's a rather imposing structure. You drive in there. Now, they might try to convince you they're Christian, but they're not going to deny or downplay the fact that they're Mormon. They may not be as honest as they could be, but you know it's a Mormon temple. They don't put a sign out that says anything other than that it's a Mormon temple, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. A little farther east from where I'm sitting, lots of Jewish synagogues. And it says Jewish synagogue. It has all the trappings of the Jewish synagogue. There's a Buddhist temple. There is a Christian Science reading room. There is a Scientology center. Their signage is all very clear. So tell me, why is it that Christian churches are the ones who seem to be actively downplaying who they are and what it is they actually believe to appeal to a broader audience? Does that make sense? Hillary in Texas via Facebook says, wow, how sad, but how common. If you want to practice being human together, volunteer at the local soup kitchen or community garden. The church is not supposed to be like the world. Yeah, that's interesting. The pastor said, we're going to practice being human together. But you know, there again, I think his honesty is coming forward. Because when you're left, if you abandon the doctrine of Christ, if you abandon salvation through Christ alone, and you more or less say, look, we're just going to embrace all the diversity that we find in all our religious viewpoints, what else do you have to do than practice being human together? Which is, I know it's kind of funny, kind of vague, but what else are you left with? You can't practice anything other than being human. Daniel in Iowa says, Well, the pastor, quote-unquote pastor, admits it himself. He's a universalist and not a Christian. So I'm glad they took down the cross because it's not what they believe, and that the cross of Christ will not be misrepresented. This might sound extreme, but I wish more so-called Christian churches would take their crosses down. If they can't preach Christ crucified, all they can do is muddle along in a theology of glory and misrepresent the cross and Orthodox Christianity. Thanks for your best 2 years ever. Oh, gee, thanks very much. Yesterday was our anniversary. Best 2 years ever. Keep up the great work. And Daniel in Iowa, thanks for listening out there in Iowa. All right, we're going through this story of a Michigan church that's changed its name from Christ Community Church to C3 Exchange. You know, I guess that kind of a name might be just innocuous enough to attract people of all different religions. No one's going to be mistaken when they walk in there. I'm sure no one is going to be able to mistake this for a Christian church. Not by standing outside, not by going inside. What amazes me is that a lot of people mistake the places they go on Sunday morning for a Christian church when Christ isn't being proclaimed there. Maybe once in a blue moon, but more often it's the Christian that gets proclaimed rather than the Christ. And a lot of the people attending those churches think they're in a Christian church. What's your reaction to this story of the Michigan church changed its name, removed its cross to be more inclusive? 1-877-623-6943. We're coming to you live this Thursday afternoon, July the 1st. 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email. Your thoughts and comments. talkback@issuesetc.org. Leave those thoughts and comments at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or send us a tweet. @issuesetc. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion too. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Call the FDA and your member of Congress.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Last month, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration held a public hearing on Ella-1, an abortion drug that is being considered for legalization in the United States. This drug, already legal in parts of Europe, is touted as a morning-after pill, but it is actually an abortifacient. It doesn't prevent a pregnancy, it ends a pregnancy. It stops progesterone from reaching the womb, thus killing an embryo that has already been implanted. And unlike morning-after pills, it can be taken 5 days after conception, instead of just one or two.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.
People have been attracted to our community because it's open, it's inclusive, it's diverse, but more importantly, people have come because they want to make a difference. They want to practice being human together, and this is a safe place to do it.
That's Ian Lawton. He leads C3 Exchange, formerly Christ Community Church, in Spring Lake, Michigan. And they took down their cross. That's the picture that everybody's seeing on the news. the crane lifting the cross off the steeple once and for all at C3 Exchange. It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. live this Thursday afternoon, July the 1st. Joel is calling from his car. Joel, welcome.
Well, thanks. I was just curious, what is their source of authority? I mean, does he just eat off fables in the morning, or does he read poetry, or what does he use as his authority? I mean, he takes down the cross, but you know, for us as Christians, the scriptures are our authority. So what, do you have any idea what he uses as his teaching?
Well,
resource?
The news doesn't actually answer the question, Joel, and thank you very much for calling. It doesn't actually answer that question. I'd have to look a little deeper into it, but here's my best guess. I mean, if I were going to run this kind of pan-religious community, which I wouldn't do, but if I were going to, and if they have already, and he admits in the news, they've already accepted as members of this community, Muslims, Buddhists, Jews, Christians, and who knows what else, atheists, what will you use as your authority? Well, you can't use just one, can you? You will have to have multiple authorities because you're trying to represent or at least coexist with multiple beliefs. So I imagine, this is my best guess, I could be wrong, my best guess is they might have a Bible there. They might have a copy of the Old Testament alone, excluding the New Testament, to represent the Jewish people there, Quran, and then the various holy books of Buddhism or whatever other religions. If atheism, perhaps they might have a Darwin's Origin of Species. And on any given day, I don't know if they worship on Sundays or if they even worship, they gather and practice being human together, they probably take turns trying to benefit from one another's sources of authority. Of course, is this Babel revisited? Of course it is. But this is what we call, I mean, in this is what our culture calls religious diversity, being truly pluralistic. Now, Kate is listening in Japan. She writes this. A few years ago, a group funded by Unification Church with leader Sung Young Moon was spearheading an effort to have Christian ministers remove crosses from their churches. I remember this. Calling them a symbol of oppression and perceived superiority, it was their national Tear Down the Cross campaign. And in its place, the pastors put a crown, citing the old hymn that mentions, I will trade in the cross for a crown. One person connected with the group said this, we have realized that as expressions of faith, there are certain symbols that have stood in the way. Stalling said, that's one of the persons associated with this movement, says Kate in Japan. The cross has served as a barrier in bringing about the true spirit of reconciliation between Jews and also between Muslims and Christians, and thus we have sought to remove the cross from our Christian churches across America as a sign of our willingness to remove any barrier that stands in the way of us coming together as people of faith. And then Kate picks up and says, interesting, a cult leader who thinks he is the second coming of Christ would have the same idea as a pastor of this so-called church. Kate, thank you very much. Thanks for listening over in Japan. I cannot fathom why removing a symbol is one thing, right? It's what you are saying by removing a symbol. I mean, you can take the cross off the steeple to polish it. You can take the cross off the steeple so that you can replace it with a bigger and better cross. It's why you remove the symbol that stands there, telling people what the church or the gathering or the whatever it is, the community is all about. And what this story reminded me of is here's a church taking down the cross because it's just trying to be honest about what it is, or a community taking down the cross. But there are many Christian churches out there who have removed the cross, consciously removed the cross from inside and out their outside their churches. And the question it raises in my mind is why? Say, well, the cross might be difficult to understand. It might be a stumbling block for some people. It certainly is. In fact, I think St. Paul admits as much. Not just the symbol of the cross, the message of the cross. And I ask, if you're going to remove the symbol of the cross, What will you soon do with the far more offensive message of the cross if you're trying to appeal to a broader audience? Lloyd in Jackson, Michigan, emails us. He says, I agree. It's not a church. They should take down the cross before God takes it down with another bolt of lightning. Merwin listens in McCook, Nebraska on KNGN. She writes this, catch up with the times or catch up with who we've become seems to indicate a moving forward. Yes, it's movement, but a backward move. Though, as you are discussing, they are being honest in one sense. The cross represents redemption, and since there is probably no redemption in that place, take the symbol down. Thanks for listening in McCook, Nebraska. Merwin. Via Facebook, Mark says in Morrison, Illinois, 1 Corinthians 1:18, quote, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You know, Paul has a lot to say about the cross, and he's not necessarily talking about the symbol of the cross, but he's talking about the message of the cross. And yet there has always been in Christian history a strong association between the symbol and the message. The symbol is intended to convey the message, or at the very least, reinforce the message. Now, the symbol may offend some, but my friends, the message is far more offensive. If you're going to take down the symbol in order not to offend, you will eventually have to get rid of the message itself. I mean, if your intent is not to offend. Let's see. Rob, he says, it becomes a neighborhood bar. Let's gather to be friendly to each other. Cheers. Well, I mean, you might as well, right? If that's all you're looking for, you can go to a bar and practice being human together. Very human indeed. Mark via Facebook, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven, citing Matthew 10, beginning verse 32. It's appropriate not only for a church that has apostatized and admits it, but it's also appropriate warning for those that are apostatizing but are unwilling to admit it. Helen in Texas says, thanks for the honesty. They're not a Christian church. They're a very liberal social club. Why haven't they removed the bell? Oh, I didn't know they still had a bell. Well, I mean, bells can mean just about anything, can't they? David via Facebook says, no concern for eternity and salvation, only concerned about this life. Really, is he a pastor or just a religious talker looking for a larger paycheck by filling pews? You know, you do want to wonder, if you don't have anything to say, why do you want an audience? If you admit you have nothing to say, come here, Muslim, I have nothing to say to you. I have no witness to bear to you. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong or you're right. If you admit you have nothing to say, why in the world do you want an audience? Why do you need one? Why do you want to attract more people, be more inclusive, when you admit that you have nothing to say to anyone, or that you're not going to gainsay anyone else's beliefs? Travis in Pine Island, New York says, no concern for eternity or salvation. I think I had that one before. Yes, I did. Ann in St. Louis is on the line, and thank you for waiting.
Thank you, Todd. I think I would have to dub this place the Love Club. And I think there's a quote that says something to this effect. If you attempt to appeal to everyone, you end up standing for nothing. And I guess in finishing, I would have to just say, Lord Jesus, come in glory.
Thank you very much, Ann. Thanks for listening in St. Louis. Let's see, Jake says, it's confusing that universalists try so hard to be inclusive. The only way to do that is to ignore parts of Holy Scripture as well as the Quran and other holy books. Even Islam, Buddhism, and Hinduism claim to be correct while the others are not. Only universalists try to cram everything together to make everyone happy. That is funny, isn't it? Only those who claim that all religions teach the same thing, and therefore, there's absolutely no logical way you can have these beliefs as they really are. Islam, Buddhism, Christianity, Judaism stand together because it will be readily apparent to everyone that they don't teach the same thing. And that there are other exclusive religions in this world, that is, religions that falsely claim, to be the only way. Islam being probably the biggest example next to Christianity. So just from the standpoint of sheer logic 101, they can't both be right. One of them has to be wrong. So is it Islam that's being represented there in this universalist church? It certainly isn't Christianity. Is it Buddhism or some strange and pared-down variant of it? Travis in New York says, I feel bad for the Christians in that church. I hope God sends them a real shepherd to bring them back to the cross. Bring the cross back to them. Very well put. Peggy in Canada says, well, in their case, changing their name, removing the cross, is an effort at truth in advertising. They are no longer a Christian church by their own admission. And that's quite true. When we come back 10 more minutes talking about this church in Michigan, it's changed its name to exclude Christ, changed its symbols to exclude the cross. Stay tuned. Because no one is going to lose their soul.
I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison. cph.org.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the national radio show The White Horse Inn, on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. presents Jesus Christ and His saving work out of the text of the Bible. The teaching of Christ alone is the driving force of this program. It deals with the important issues of our time with carefully chosen guests and hosts who are knowledgeable in the scriptures, history, and their application. On Issues Etc., you will not hear pop evangelicalism, but confessional Lutheran theology fluently presented.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. A Voice in the Wilderness of American Evangelicalism, Issues Etc. Thanks for your support.
You didn't think it was important even to have one cross?
We're very serious about what Christ did on the cross, but to capture the essence of Christianity in a single symbol is a little dangerous, we feel.
Well, the familiar voice of Peter Jennings and the only slightly less familiar voice of Bill Hybels, you know, he's no theological liberal. He is at least regarded by many as a very conservative Christian. And yet his church, I've been there, no crosses, not outside, not inside. And if you actually hear what is preached Sunday in, Sunday out, week in, week out, by Bill Hybels and those who preach at Willow Creek Community Church in South Barrington, Illinois, very influential, at least up until recently, very influential evangelical megachurch in the United States, more often than not, they're preaching the Christian rather than the Christ. And you can preach the Christian without the cross. You can't preach Christ without the cross, not consistently. So preaching the Christian rather than the Christ, which is really, which is worse? Ian Lawton in Spring Lake, Michigan, who takes down the cross and consistently doesn't preach it. And yet, and we'll tell you flat out, I don't believe that anymore. We don't believe that anymore here. Or a reputedly Christian, conservative Christian pastor who will tell you he still believes all that stuff about the cross, but doesn't preach it. Which is worse? Which is actually more deceptive to people? We're talking about this Michigan church. They've changed their name to, what is it? 3C Exchange from Christ Community Church. I want to hear from you. We got 10 more minutes in this hour. 1-877-623-6943. Email us, talkback at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or leave your thoughts on this story at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Mark is calling from his car. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Pastor Todd. You've said a couple of times that they're practicing being human, and that is a phrase that really strikes me because man is what man does. And in the formula of Concord, and I don't remember it, I'm probably going to say this badly, they talk about whether sin is an inherent part of our nature, and they reference, you know, Christ being created without sin. So I'm wondering, what is humanity reduced to without Jesus?
That's a great question, Mark. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening in your car. Well, I mean, you take Jesus out of the human equation, and he fits squarely in the human equation, doesn't he? I mean, that's what God does. He invades not only this planet, but invades the human race with his divinity in the incarnation of Jesus Christ in order to redeem fallen humanity. You take Jesus out of the human equation, and we are merely fallen humans. With no hope of ever being, we are subhuman, unless the image of God is restored to us through the humanity and divinity of Jesus Christ. And as I said before, if you're going to exclude Christ from your community, then you're left with nothing more to do than simply practice being merely human and fallen human beings at that. Joe's up next, calling from his car. Hi, Joe.
Hi, thanks for having me. Hey, what comes to my mind on this is, why does anybody even go to this thing? I mean, it's making it so watered down and so trying to make it attractive to everybody that it's not attractive to anybody. And I mean, I was born human. It doesn't take any practice to do that. I can certainly do it a whole lot more fun places than sitting in a quasi church on Sunday morning. Thanks.
Joe, thank you very much. I mean, people practice being human on the golf course, in the grocery store, out on the highway. You're right. I mean, if you really want to practice, get out there and practice. You don't have to gather and deny your religious beliefs to do that. Let's see. Mark is in St. Louis. Mark is listening in St. Louis. Hi, Mark.
I'm actually in Redbud.
That's hardly St. Louis.
Hardly. Well, within 45 minutes, it's close enough. Well, I'm going to go back to when I first got in the car and turned the radio on. Who is their authority? And that was the discussion for a little while. Now, I'm going to go back to that, and I would somewhat disagree with you, but I wouldn't disagree with you until a couple of years from now, because I think what I see happening in a situation like this is that the authority eventually becomes whoever the so-called pastor is, because he's going to take the best he thinks out of all those different sources, the Quran, the Bible, and so forth, and then he is the one who is going to be the ultimate prophet for his people.
You know, I think you're absolutely right, Mark, and thank you very much for listening in Redbud, Illinois. I think you're absolutely right. What does practically end up being, because you can't have multiple authorities, you have to have one. One will always win. Well, it will be the authority of however the pastor, leader, whatever it is, wants to incorporate all those multiple authorities. He will end up himself being such authority. You're quite right. Smartest listeners in radio, we always say it. Scott in Mission Viejo, California, says they should call themselves C Exchange, since the first C, Christ, and the third C, Church, no longer apply. Instead of C3 Exchange, simply C Exchange. I'm sure if they think it through, they will follow your advice, Scott, and thanks for listening in California. Ken says, maybe they'll put up a square and a compass in place of the cross. It sounds like a lodge. Yes, it does sound an awful lot like a lodge, doesn't it? Mike in New Mexico says, well, this isn't a church anymore. It's a social club, of spiritual folks. So why do they need a cross? They certainly don't. And they don't think anyone else needs it either. Tom in San Jose, California says, I see this all the time. Why try to feel accepted by other sinners? I'm worried about being accepted by Christ. Issues, etc. covers that. So I know that I'm accepted and my salvation is covered by Christ 2,000 years ago when he went up on the cross. And you know, this is really important, folks. Let us never forget. This is why the crucifix in my mind always beats out the empty cross. I always say, keep your manger. They say people, Christians want to keep their mangers full and their crosses empty. It should be the opposite way. Jesus isn't in the manger anymore. He only stayed there probably a night or two. But we need to remember that Christ is forever the one slain from before the foundation of the world, that his crucifixion, his death, always avails for us before God. So we don't take Jesus off the cross. We acknowledge his resurrection, but he is the Lamb slain, the one who stands as one who was slain. So we keep our mangers full and our mangers empty and our crosses full, and keep our tombs empty as well. Now, Tom says he sees it all the time. He doesn't want to be accepted by other sinners, but by Christ. And it's Christ who went up on the cross. The cross is a symbol of Jesus, isn't it? Chris in Indianapolis says, I think what's happened to C3 Exchange is the direct consequence of putting popular culture ahead of Scripture. Mark my words, many, many seeker-driven and purpose-driven churches will follow the lead of Ian Lawton and C3 Exchange. I agree with you, Chris. I don't think they believe that they will now, but little by little, measure by measure, degree by degree, they are drawing ever closer to C3 Exchange. Morris via Facebook says, perhaps they got tired of confused visitors expecting Christian services, complaining about wasting their time. Now only exchangers will show up, and they won't be pestered with explaining their heresy. I never understood why anyone would go to the trouble of going to a universalist church. Why not stay at home and watch reruns of Roseanne? You get the same philosophy with a lot less effort. Insightful. Terry in Omaha says, the early church suffered because they were exclusive, not inclusive. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. They, in their efforts to be inclusive, have ceased to be the church of Christ. Now, that should be the point. In our effort to be inclusive, we have chipped away at the exclusive claims of Jesus Christ, either by denying them, as C3 does, or by downplaying them, hiding them, and replacing them with seeker-sensitive preaching. And the more we try to be inclusive to the exclusion of Christ's exclusive claims, the less and less we will be the church. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for July, brand new book of the month, is called Law and Gospel, How to Read and Apply the Bible. It's written by one of my favorite authors of all time, C.F.W. Walther. He's long dead, but as relevant as he ever was. This book is a must, absolute must read for anyone who wants to consider themselves a student of the Reformation and its theology. It's called Law and Gospel, How to Read and Apply the Bible, from Concordia Publishing House. Find out about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House. Take my recommendation. Order it, Law and Gospel, How to Read and Apply the Bible, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. You will not regret ordering and reading this book. You will thank me for recommending it, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Well, tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we'll play Soundbite of the Week. I come back to that question, who's being more honest, who is more dangerous? A man who denies Christ and admits it and says, I just want to include everybody. Or a man, could be practically any Christian pastor nowadays, who wants to include everybody, who by not preaching Christ effectively denies him and yet still calls himself a Christian. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.